If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined back by the one, the only Miss Cassandra Elvira Peterson.
Yay. I'm clapping for myself. I don't know why.
Listen, you gotta listen. There's nothing wrong with clapping for yourself, right?
Yeah, there's nobody else here to do it. My dog, and he doesn't have hands. So, you know.
How are you today? What is going on? I assume you're in LA.
I am sort of in the middle of moving. So it's very, very frenetic here. Very crazy. Everything's a mess. I threw up my little Elvira shrine behind me and here I am.
I see Elvira dolls. I see the book. I see it all. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I have this year, I have a whole catalog of merchandise on Elvira.com.
Listen, everyone needs a little Elvira in their life. Well, I have to start by saying the last time you were here, it was the day or the day before your book came out. And when I introduced you and I gave you all these monikers and I said, you know, Mistress of the Dark and, you know, gay icon and Queen of the Macabre, I said, you know, I think soon I'm going to be saying New York Times bestseller. And you said, oh, you know, like from your lips to like God's ears and let's not get ahead of ourselves. Well, I guess I was right because Yours Cruelly, it debuted at number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list, and it stayed there forever.
So insane. I mean, so it's your responsibility, baby. I'm like, thank you.
Well, you lived the life, wrote the book, and had all these experiences. So I don't even want any responsibility other than, Cassandra, I told you so. I knew it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It worked. You got to say that more. Okay. Because I was blown away. I mean, of course, I hoped that would happen, but it was a distant dream. I didn't really think I would get on the New York Times bestseller list. I really didn't. So I was in shock. It was awesome.
You were really shocked at like what a success the book was.
I was like, what? You should have seen me. And you know, it didn't happen. I didn't hear about it right away. And so I was sort of like disappointed that, you know, it came out and I didn't get on. And then all of a sudden, a week later, because they told me, oh, you'll know Wednesday. But Wednesday, there was nothing. Thursday, nothing. Friday. And then the following Monday, they told me and I flipped out.
What was that like? I mean, I imagine writing this book was not easy, you know, in terms of putting your emotions in it, revealing things about yourself, and just the process of writing a book can't be easy.
Yeah, no, it's heavy. And when it's about yourself, you know, yeah, writers, I have a new respect for writers. I mean, I always knew it was a hard job, but not this hard, you know, writing it. And then when it's about yourself and your life and all the people you knew, it's so introspective and cathartic and a million different things. I mean, things came up that I never would imagine, you know, would have affected me that way. I mean, I found myself in tears so many times writing the book, and also parts of the book that I did not want to write that going to sit down to write were like, it was like pulling teeth. I would have rather had, you know, needles stuck under my fingernails or something. It was just some of the things I just look like, do I have to talk about this? You know, and then I thought, well, I really do. So yeah, it was good. It was bad. It was everything in between.
What did you not want to write about the most?
Well, my marriage was a really sore spot, you know, because it eventually didn't turn out so well. Writing about my husband, my ex-husband, in a kind of balanced way, not to make him a giant villain, but also, you know, letting people know why I didn't stay with him was important. Writing a lot of stuff about my mother was really difficult because we had a really hard relationship. And And, you know, I still loved my mother, even though she was not the greatest mom in the world, but, you know, she was my mom. And so it was kind of hard and creepy to talk about some of the things that she did and said. And yeah, so there were a lot of moments that were hard.
I get it. If I had to write a book and relive certain moments of my life, I'm like, oh, please, I'd rather just push that down and bury it and never deal with it again. That's just kind of how I like to live, right? Just
yeah, this was like a 1 year long therapy session. I swear to God, it was like going to therapy every day, all day for a year. It was just like digging up the crap and the feelings and it was really hard. A much different thing than I thought I would experience.
What, like when you heard from fans and the media and just in general, like what shocked people the most out of like all these revelations and stories that you've had?
The thing that came out that flipped everybody out was that I was with a woman, you know, nobody was ready for that. And apparently we kept it a pretty damn good secret because nobody knew and everybody was surprised. Now our closest friends and our relatives knew, but outside of a very small circle of people, you know, even my second tier, you know, group of friends who I've known for a long time did not know, which was kind of shocking for me. I would have thought maybe they suspected, but most of them had not.
What did, so like focusing on these second tier friends, like were they
I hate to call them second tier friends. They're very, very good friends, but you know, not around me every day.
Totally. Were they just like, not, they were just blown away. They were like,
oh yeah, blown away. I mean, some were a little freaked out. I think I have to say, you know, but the good thing is because they're my friends, they all embraced it. They love T already because she has been my assistant and they all know her. And so it was a little surprising for them, but they all said, you know, the only thing that's important is that you're happy and she's happy and then we're happy for you.
How did you decide to include that in the book and like basically come out? Or was it just like, I'm writing a book, this is what I signed up for. If I don't put everything in here now, what's the point of writing this book?
Yeah, I had, when I first thought about writing the book, there would have been the book that was just more about Elvira, how I became Elvira and some of my past and all that. And I'm a huge reader of autobiographies. And I particularly like the ones that are written by the person themselves, because you can really feel, you get a sense of who the person is, you know?
Totally.
As opposed to having a ghostwriter. And I know that the books I enjoy reading the most were the books that really spill the beans, you know? Those are the ones that are interesting and that you love, and you end up loving the person even more. And so I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to put it all out there. What do I have to lose? You know, I don't know. People stop buying my Elvira junk. I don't know. What?
Did you worry about that, like from fans, like the reaction to coming out? And if you worried about it, were you worried about like your gay fan base or your straight fan base more? And I know there's a lot of categories in between there. I'm just summing up gay and straight for our sense of this question.
I think, honestly, I worried more about my gay fan base because I hope they embraced it, but I was feeling like, what if they think I'm a big fat hypocrite and I was lying to them? And here I was going, oh, I love, you know, LGBTQ community. And meanwhile, I'm one of them and I'm not saying anything about it. So I really worried that maybe some of them would think I was a, you know, big fat hypocrite. So that scared me more. Now, the straight people, I knew that there was going to be some horny old men out there who who were just not going to like the fact that they didn't have a chance with me anymore, you know, and I hate to tell them they already didn't have a chance with me anyway. And it's funny, one of the things that happened is on my social media, I won't say which platform, in one day, the day after the book came out, I lost 11,000 people, just said, Elvira, you lied to me. I don't respect you anymore. Goodbye. And, but I got 60,000 new followers the same day.
Wow. So,
you know, I mean, there were people, it was funny. I know it was mostly straight older guys who just felt lied to, you know, I don't know. So can't please everybody.
No. And 60,000 new followers. When you lost 11,000 followers, did you Well, I mean, I don't know if you really even think about it. Like, who, you know, you have 60,000 new ones. Did you think it was that, like, you lied to me, I'm mad, I'm pissed off, you're a hypocrite, or it was that, oh, as opposed to like homophobia, or like our country is still in a place where it shouldn't be?
Well, yeah, I mean, I read a few of them, and it was mostly just like, you're not what I thought you were. I don't respect you anymore. And it's like, okay, I mean, not like we were best friends or anything, but, you know, I have to live my life. And so it was more that, but I'm sure that the homophobia thing creeps in there a little bit, you know. I'm sure there was plenty of that going on.
How did T react to all of this? Like, when you sat down and said, I'm writing a book, and by the way, this is coming in this book. Was that a discussion? Was Cassandra?
Yeah, that was a big discussion with us. I wanted her to know, and we both wanted to do it for a long time to, you know, talk about a relationship so that we could go places together and we could hold hands, we could look at each other, we could, you know, and I didn't have to keep introducing her as my assistant. You know, it's just such a, you know, for her and for me. But she's a very private person. She always has been. She was before this, she will be after. She didn't want to be in the limelight. That was her biggest fear, I think, was like, oh my God, will people be taking pictures of me and looking at me? And I said, I don't know, I can't tell you about that part. They'll probably want to, but, you know, but we figured it was worth it. And it has been. It's been really great.
That's it's great. It's fantastic
to go out to a restaurant and actually sit next to each other and not worry about, like, oh, is there somebody, I don't know, taking pictures of you, which, yeah, you have to worry about all the time in LA.
People probably were like, man, like, that Cassandra, she can't do anything without her assistant. She's really needy.
I think they were. It's like, God, you have to have an assistant for everything. Just, yeah, I bet they were. That's funny.
In a way, because, I mean, like you said, it was like a 20-year relationship, you know, and I mean, I'm a gay man, but like, in a way, like, the people are still outed like every day in Hollywood, just because it is LA. It is kind of shocking. Like, do you ever think, like, man, like, how did you keep the secret? Because you always hear about people, you know, coming out and they're like, I'm coming out because I have to, because it's about to be a story tomorrow morning. And I don't want to right now, but I better do it because I can control the narrative. Did you ever think that? I mean, that's in, like, throughout all those years, like, it's a hard thing to keep.
I have a lot of friends who have not come out and who have come out and who, you know, I know about, but other people don't know about. And with some of them, more in the past, more, you know, 10, 20 years ago, someone, it had serious implications on in their work.
Yeah.
Mostly because they're in show business. And you would think that wouldn't happen anymore. Well, that isn't true. It does happen. Not as much, I'm happy to say now. But, you know, I won't name a few names, but I can't really name it, but you know, people who did come out and like they just all of a sudden they weren't getting hired for jobs. They weren't going, you know, and so it's hard to believe in Hollywood, you know, where everybody is so kind of open about everything that would happen. But it still happens.
Crazy. It still happens. You still think we have?
I was worried. I was protecting my character. I didn't care about me, but I have this character who's like this straight horn dog woman, you know, and I even when I was married to my husband, I didn't talk about my marriage. I didn't talk about the fact I was married or that I had a child because nobody wants to think about Elvira at home changing diapers and washing dishes. They just don't want to know about that. Elvira's Elvira, you know? And so I'm not just like an actor playing different parts. I have this character and she is this thing and I am that thing, you know? So I'm going to mix up the two and I don't know. It was very confusing, I got to tell you.
And, you know, I mean, Elvira is definitely straight. Is there anything you'd like to reveal here today about Elvira that we don't know? I mean, just.
Yeah, Elvira's going to come out with, she's going to start dating. God, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody. Jamie Lee Curtis. Okay. I don't know. No. Okay. She's not a character, but yeah.
That's okay.
Frankenstein. Elvira and the Bride of Frankenstein. I heard they're having a thing. No, Elvira's pretty open about everything. She wouldn't surprise me, whatever she did.
Kind of what
There's
I
no
think.
Telling what she might be into.
That's kind of what I think. Well, your fans, like you said, I mean, other than these 11,000 followers. I mean, you know, they didn't miss a beat. Like, no one really, you have such loyal fans. Like, why do you think, you know, like, Hollywood is so fickle. It's a tough business. Like, you know, whoever's hot today is like gone tomorrow. What do you think it is about like Elvira that just all these decades later, the fans are so loyal?
God, you know, I don't know. I think about it. I speculate about it. I think, I don't know. That's a good answer. One thing is Halloween. I have Halloween. I've kind of become an icon for a national holiday, and actually now kind of an international holiday. And even though I may disappear during the rest of the year, during Halloween, I'm back, you know, and I'm still there every year, kind of like Santa Claus, you know? And so I think that's one thing that gave the character a great deal of longevity. But also the character is pretty, I think people respect Elvira because she's a misfit. She doesn't fit in, but she doesn't give a crap. She just does her thing, goes forward. If you don't like it, you know, too damn bad. She's like a real kind of authentic person, even though she's not a real person, but she's kind of authentic in that completely fake way.
How much of you is in Elvira and vice versa?
I used to always think there was nothing. I used to really think Elvira's that, I am that. What happened, I realized over the years, is that Elvira is actually teenage me. I really, truly think she is me. When I was a teenager, my personality, Elvira has adopted that personality, that section of my life. I think if anybody reads the book, they'll kind of see what a weirdo, loudmouth, know-it-all, smartass kid I was. I would do anything. If people dared me to do it, I wouldn't take no for an answer. And I think Elvira is that kind of person. As I got older, I mellowed a little and got a little more calm and normal. But Elvira picked up my teenage years and ran with them.
I could see that. Did you hear?
I may want to go to a psychiatrist after this interview. I don't know.
Seriously, man. I'm like, but you know, well, that really was like my last question about that. Well, actually, this is my last question. Did you hear from anyone? And hopefully you're not going to go to us like, listen, you wrote the book. You don't need a psychiatrist anymore, right?
Kind of. Yeah. It was kind of like a year-long psychiatry session. Yeah.
That's what everyone says who I know who's written a book.
Yeah.
Did you hear from anyone like famous that had just like a funny reaction to this whole thing of, you know, like you, like a lighthearted reaction to like you coming out?
The coming out, thank God. Yeah, they all had good reactions to it. RuPaul, for example, Rob Zombie. I mean, they were all thrilled for me. They're happy and thrilled and just, you know, wanted to make sure I was happy, and they were happy for me because they're good friends, you know, but they did not know, any of them. Few of my friends that wrote little blurbs on the back knew. Jack White knew, because we used to go stay with him at his house in Nashville. And so he already knew, and not a few people did know, but yeah, I don't know. Everybody's happy. Kim Cattrall just learned about it from Sex and the City, and she's very, very happy for me. She's such a sweet person.
We love Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you also celebrated your 70th birthday earlier this year. Did you, what did you do? Did you do anything extravagant?
I had so much going on with my book and everything. I mean, it was just coming out a few days later, you know, right after my birthday. And I was, you know, I wanted to have a big party, but then the pandemic and everything, I didn't want to have 100 people packed into a room anywhere.
Right.
And so I ended up having just very close friends and family over to my house in the backyard and had a really big, nice dinner and had a fabulous night. It was really, really fun with about 20 people and
nice.
Just relaxed. And yeah, and it was outdoors, so we didn't have to worry so much about, you know, COVID. And everybody, all my friends, of course, were vaccinated.
That's what it should be. Like, sometimes a small birthday party is better.
It was. I got time to interact with all my friends. You know, I wasn't running from one to the other. You know how you do.
I like that. And it was right before your busy season. I mean, As you said, you basically do own Halloween. It is, you do not think of Halloween without thinking of Elvira. Yeah. Is, I mean, are you like a tax accountant who on April 16th is like, man, life begins? I mean, November 1st, is it really, do you go on vacation? Like, is it like something exciting for you?
You know, I used to, for years and years, I always planned a big vacation right after Halloween, literally November 1st, get in my car and like go to a spa for 2 weeks or take a road trip, you know, with my, whoever I happen to be with, whether it's my husband or my partner later. But things have gotten so busy for me that I sort of have continued to work now after, even after Halloween is over. It's really crazy. There's like working on the next project starts right away now. And now I wish I could take the, I need to go do that. Damn it. I am going to take a vacation in March for 2 weeks to Hawaii, but I haven't been on a vacation in since the pandemic started. And even way before that, I've just been working.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body. And I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar. And my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
If you're anything like me, you have so much going on and your to-do list just keeps growing by the day, the hour, the minute. This year, put yourself first with the help of Dipsy. Dipsy Stories is an app full of sexy audio stories. No matter what you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy helps bring the stories to life.
Anytime, anywhere. Close your eyes and let yourself get lost. Lost in a world where only good things happen and pleasure is your only priority. Explore your fantasy in a safe, shame-free way. There are hundreds of stories to choose from, and they release new content every week. So hey, you never get bored. Variety really is the spice of life. For listeners of this show, Dipsy's offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/velvet.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/velvet. dipsystories.com/velvet. So you started your own online store. You're doing what you love, selling products people want, and orders are coming in fast. So what's the problem? Now you gotta ship all those products out. Luckily, ShipStation makes it easy. With ShipStation, it's easy to import, manage, and ship your orders out fast for a lot less money. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation funnels all your orders into one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your cell phone. I couldn't ship the Behind the Velvet Rope merchandise out if I did not have ShipStation. Listen, ship more in less time. Just use my offer code VELVET to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in VELVET. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code VELVET. Make ship happen.
I've been hearing from you guys with all of your New Year's resolutions. You guys want to save money. You want to lose weight. Well, one of my New Year's resolutions is to learn a new language. And for that, I've turned to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Out of all the 55 countries I've been to, Italy was one of my favorite. And that's why I personally am looking into learning Italian. Listen, Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Their lessons were created by over 100 language experts, and they're teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you don't have to learn Italian. You could choose from Spanish, Russian, French, Italian, over 14 different languages to choose from. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. What is better than that? Listen, right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use promo code VelvetRope. That's BABBEL.com. The code is VelvetRope. Babbel, the language for life. Do you guys do what I do every January? First, you think about the year prior of all the things you didn't accomplish that you wanted to. Then you make a bunch of New Year's resolutions. And as soon as you break them, you feel bad about yourself. Are you in your own mind the way I was? Well, get out of your mind. Let me tell you, therapy can help you learn to be kinder and gentler to yourself and help you move forward. I have to tell you guys about Talkspace. Talkspace has been a miracle for me. First of all, they match you with a licensed therapist that you can connect with not only from your computer, but from your phone, anywhere on the go. I also love that Talkspace focuses on your schedule. They fit your schedule, not the other way around. With live chat, video, and audio sessions, you could easily fit mental health into your daily routine. I also love that your information is extremely private and it's just between you and your therapist. Listen, Talkspace can help you with anything, anxiety, depression, self-doubt. Make your mental health more than just another New Year's resolution with Talkspace. Visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code VELVET at sign up. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code VELVET. I get it. I feel like since the pandemic, I've been the same way. A lot of people I know have just like, I'm like, I've never worked this hard in like the past many years. There's something about it, right?
Yes, it's weird. You'd think that there would be nothing happening. And it's, yeah, for me, same with you. It's just been nonstop.
2020 and 2021, I'm not sure which was like harder working, but they were both just like, I kind of have no memory of either year other than work. Me like too. It's like 24 months of just work. And I'm like, I don't know. And now I'm saying my New Year's resolution is to work less, but I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but that's really my hardcore goal. But
that is going to be my New Year's resolution too. Isn't that a good one? Drink more. No, not really.
Listen, I have nothing wrong with that one either. Trust me.
No, but that's going to be my New Year's resolution, to work less. I have to calm it down a little. I'm 70 years old. I need a break. I've been working since I was 14. It's like, when do I get a vacation?
Do you see yourself slowing, you know, like, okay, you'll work less, that's your New Year's resolution, but like 5 years, 10 years, like, do you see Elvira just like, what's her future? I mean.
My dog heard your siren.
The dog is, she's saying, oh yeah, the siren. I see. Welcome to New York City. It's so fun. Like, and that's another thing. That is like, ever since COVID, I swear I hear sirens all day now. It's 2 years later. I never heard sirens before. It's so strange.
Look, here's my pup.
Oh,
here's
my God.
Look, he has a hairdo.
I love the hair is dyed pink. I love it's like a little faux hawk. Oh my God.
And then look, he's got his little jacket on, his little coat.
The skull and crossbones. Listen, now, I mean, why does this not show? This is so on brand for Elvira, I guess. See, so maybe there is a lot of similarities between you guys.
Yeah, maybe now they might be intermingling, I guess. Look, Vinny, you're on TV. Look at that.
Hi, sweetie.
Yeah, what were you saying? Yeah, that's so funny. The siren went by. Yeah, no, in LA too, sirens, helicopter sirens is nonstop, man.
And it's like people listen to my show and they're like, oh my God, you're really in New York. I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, there's nothing I can do. I'm up high. There's windows. Like, I can't drown it out anymore.
It's not possible. I get it.
It's strong. As far as like slowing down and, you know, do you ever think of, listen, some people don't ever want to retire. They just really want to work forever. And that's great too. Do you see Elvira being around?
Oh yeah, I really do. I really hope that Elvira can continue long after I'm gone, and that she's enough of an icon that she could be animated. There could still be products. I mean, when you think about people like, okay, these are really old references, but like Elvis and Marilyn Monroe, you still buy stuff, you know, that is marketed with their image on it. I think Elvira will probably forever be kind of entwined with Halloween. So I hope so. And I would love to just see her as an animated character or in comic books or whatever. I don't think it has to be me getting in drag, going out there doing it.
I think that's true too. Like you look at like a Michael Jackson or like Prince with like, you know, Paisley Park, like people still flock there. So I think that's, I could see that.
I don't know what good it'll do me if I'm dead, but you know, what the heck? I think it is something that will endure, I hope, for a few generations or maybe a lot of generations.
We cannot have Halloween without Elvira. I'm just going to put that out there. What would you give someone like starting out in the business? Like what advice would you give them if they were just coming to LA now, the way you did when you were starting out?
I would say the most important thing is don't get discouraged. It's just so easy to just give up. And I had so many times that I was just packing it in. I mean, I mentioned one big one in my book, but there for that one, there's 100 more before that, where it just gets so discouraging, not having money, not knowing where the next paycheck is going to come from, not knowing if you're going to be able to pay your rent. You know, just, I think, you know, talent is really, it's really good to have talent. It's good to take classes and study and whatever your particular dream, you know, that you want to be, being prepared for it and being ready when opportunity comes along. But I think persistence is the most important thing. I think just being, just persisting, do not give up. I tell everybody, I'm like a pit bull, man. I won't give up and I don't care what horrible thing happens. Just keep going. Most of my girlfriends who were actresses dropped off along the way. You know, they married, one married a doctor, one married a lawyer. They just got so tired of being broke, you know? And I was just still plugging away at 30 years old, you know, not giving up. But getting close to giving up, I made it in the you know, nick of time.
It's hard not to, right? It's a tough business.
It really is a tough business. I mean, I know a lot of businesses are tough, but I think acting is up there with, I mean, how many actresses are there that never make it? For everyone you see, there's got to be a million that don't.
That's what I was going to say. Like some people with so much talent just don't make it. And then it's so hard. There's so many factors.
And so many people that I've known who are so much more talented than me, so much more beautiful than me, so much more everything than me, you know, never make it. And it's just mind boggling. It's like, what did they not do or what didn't happen that made that? But I think it's mostly like not hanging in there long enough. I think that if you just hang in there long enough, you will eventually make it. I have one friend who worked in Mistress of the Dark. She played the little old lady. She finally made it in her career when she was, I think, 82. She'd been an actress all her life and finally started getting big commercials and movies when she was 82.
Wow.
And she made a ton of money, bought a fabulous house in Florida, of course, and you know, retired. But, you know, I'm not saying wait till 82, but still, she kept going and it finally happened.
I'm just like, wow. Do you think Hollywood in that sense has changed? Like even in, you know, like, are there more parts for women now? You know, like, you know, that old saying, like, okay, when you're 40, that's it. You're dead. You know, like that old, like that's changed now. Yeah. But like, do you think that is now? Or is there still a long way to come?
There's still a long way to come, but I think it's getting much better. I think, you know, really when in the early 70s, when you were a woman and you were 30, you were done. You were done. I write about that quite a bit in my book. It was just like, don't even bother showing up. But nowadays, I think there could be a lot more parts for older women, but there are some really great parts for women out there that, I mean, I see Frankie and Grace. I mean, I love seeing Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin in that. It's so great. But also parts for trans people, parts for, you know, Latinos, Asians, Black people. There really are getting to be more and more parts. And that makes me so happy. I mean, I think the 70s was white men worked in movies and TV, and that was about it, you know, and some young girls.
Grace and Frankie is brilliant.
Isn't it? I love it so much. I love it.
It's such a good show. Speaking of trends, like, do you watch like Pose? Like, did you watch Pose or anything like that?
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched some of Pose. And I mean, there's been actually trans characters on so many different shows recently. And they had a habit of hiring straight people to play trans people. Now they're finally, a lot of shows, not everyone, is hiring trans people to play a trans character. Duh.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's taking time, but it's heading in the right direction.
That's kind of how I think too. I think it's heading in the right direction. Right. They are hiring like trans to play trans. Right. You're like, what a novel concept. Like,
yeah. Wow.
Right. Like, duh. Other than Halloween, do you have a favorite holiday?
Other than Halloween. I probably really like Christmas. I like Christmas. Christmas was a big deal in my family when I was growing up. Not as big as Halloween was, but it was a big deal. All my relatives came from everywhere, and I really like decorating. I love Christmas music. Yeah, I guess that would be my second favorite holiday.
Do you have any, like, I personally hate New Year's Eve. Like, do you have any holidays you just don't like?
We are twins. I'm exactly like you. I freaking hate New Year's Eve. It's always a big, huge disappointment. I always drink too much champagne, which I do not like anyway, and get sick the next day because of all the sugar.
And there's
a disappointment.
And you can't really drive around. I mean, I live in New York, but it's not safe on the roads. And it's like,
no.
Going out is a pain in the ass.
There's no way you could get to a restaurant. In LA, you could not get in a place. You could not get in a restaurant. Just going 10 miles for, you know, to somebody's house for dinner is dangerous. You might never make it back because some drunk will run into you, you know, and kill you. And probably yourself they'll run into. But yeah, I hate it. There's just nothing to do. I think I've stayed home for New Year's for the last 10 years or something.
Before COVID, I was out of the country. Like, I haven't been in the country for a New Year's in forever. And I've been in a lot of places that don't really care that it's New Year's. So it was kind of like just another night in, like, you know, Bangkok or wherever. Yeah. I mean, like, they kind of have a moment of New Year's, but it's not a big thing. It's like you go to dinner in the hotel and there's like streamers. I'm like, this is fine. This is exactly how to do it. But yeah, it's not my thing.
No, me neither. I just make black eyed peas and some, you know, collard greens and drink a little bit of champagne and stay home and watch some good movie on TV. That's about it.
And go to bed. Do you like any of like the new horror movies, like the like franchise, like Halloween? Like, we had Halloween Ends. Now we're going to have Halloween Kills. Like, the new Scream is coming out. Like, what are the new horror movies of the past few years? Like, do you get into any of the new ones?
Oh God, you know, I don't know. I'm really like an old horror movie aficionado, or horror movies that have a little comedy in them. I mean, like what they do in The Shadows or Shaun of the Dead or something with a little humor mixed in. I'm not such a big fan of like a lot of them. I must say I did like The Witch. I love that. That's not that new anymore. And a few of them that have a lot more diversity in it. Get Out, for example, which is a while ago now too. But I like the fact that, you know, now it's becoming more diverse and a little more interesting. So I'm really happy to hear about that. I enjoyed those kind of movies.
Get Out was amazing. Yes.
Was, wasn't it? I loved it. I just freaking loved that movie. And I guess they're doing Get Out too, or they did. I don't know.
I think they're doing Get Out too.
And I'm not knowing about my horror movies. My brain has turned to mush as far as horror movies go. They all know the one big gigantic horror movie.
My memory is not what it was myself. Yeah, if you start asking me about years that something happens, it's like you're talking another language. I'm like, I think it was 2012.
Writing my autobiography, it was like, what year was that? But you know, I had to, it was so hard. I had to research it and everything. Find a picture that might have had the year written on it, you know? No, I can't remember that stuff anymore.
That's so hard. Is there a part of the entertainment business that you still want to try? I mean, you've kind of done everything. I mean, now you're an author, you own a holiday.
I have a few things that I really, really would like to do. One would be a documentary of my book. Two would be a possible, what would you call it? A mini series. I don't know, like maybe a 6-part biopic, you know, of the book, kind of my life. And the another one that I have an absolute dream of doing, that I've had this forever and I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but I'm going to do it. And that is a Broadway play of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I mean, kind of like a cross between Rocky Horror Picture Show and Hairspray, but of the movie Mistress of the Dark. Wouldn't that be fun? And a musical.
Do you see my mouth is like dropping open? I can see this. Look, they had Beetlejuice.
So fun. Yeah. I saw Beetlejuice, by the way, on Broadway. It was awesome. But I think it would make such a great play. And I think it's very close to kind of like a Hairspray kind of feel, or Legally Blonde, you know, when Legally Blonde was a play, which I thought was fantastic, by the way.
It was amazing. I could see this. I mean, I really could see there's so, and like the costumes, there's so much you can do with it, right? Yeah,
I think it'd be really great. And the music, you know, like I said, a little Rocky Horror Picture Show vibe, you know?
Maybe now that we're putting it out there into the world, a Broadway producer will say, hey, I see some money in this, and then they'll call you.
Yeah. Let's hope.
Is there?
You already have been predicting the future, so.
Listen, I'm just here to help you out, Cassandra.
Thank you.
Is there anyone, you know, like Cyndi Lauper's written like music for a lot of like Broadway plays and like Bryan Adams now, like, is there anyone off the top of your head that you'd want to write the music? Like if they were going to go that route and try to pick someone.
Mark Shaman, and I'm blanking on his name. Oh my God. They did Hairspray. Mark Shaman.
Harvey Fierstein?
No, you mean writing it?
Writing it, or
oh, I feel so bad that I can't remember his name. How horrible. But they are the best. I think they're the funniest music lyricists, songwriters, if I could remember his partner's name. Oh God, how embarrassing. But yes, they did Hairspray, and I would love them. They're so great.
This could happen. I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like you see a lot of Broadway too. Like when you're in New York, there's a lot.
When I come to New York, I go to a Broadway play every night. Just sort of.
Have you seen? You need to see. I still need to see Moulin Rouge. I haven't seen, but I just saw.
That was the last one I saw before the pandemic, and it was fantastic.
That's what I heard.
I loved that. It was so fun. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you have to get tickets right now, man. It's amazing.
I mean, I'm right here down the street. I really gotta get my act together.
I slept all the way there to see it, and it was did not disappoint.
Anything else you're currently working on that you want to plug? I like to give people a chance towards the end to like plug what you can plug anything you want.
Okay. Well, what I'll plug right now is, because Christmas is coming up in just a few days, check out Elvira.com, and I have a catalog on there of Elvira items in every price range from my like $12 Elvira Chia Pet. When my hair grows, is so awesome.
I like and, that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I need you. That's like amazing, but go on. But that's like, who doesn't love a Chia Pet to begin with? But go on.
I know, right? I'm so happy to finally be a Chia Pet. And up to my Elvira Vespa, which I think it's in the $14,000 to $18,000 range, but it's a Vespa that they made to look just like my macabre mobile that from Mistress of the Dark, which, I mean, how freaking awesome is that? So everything in between there. So if you go to Elvira.com, you can see all those things. And it's not too late to order for Christmas.
And I saw on your Instagram, you have Elvira Chris. I'm like, Christmas sweaters, Elvira, this is amazing.
Christmas sweaters. I have Elvira salt and pepper shakers where one boob is salt and one boob is pepper. I don't actually have that myself, but I mean, on my boobs, I mean, not the salt and pepper shakers, but you know, so there's something for everyone. I just have to say in that catalog, something for everyone on your list, even if they've been very, very naughty. And even, hopefully if they have been very naughty.
I'm going to get myself the Chia Pet because I love a good Chia Pet.
Okay. Who doesn't?
And where can everyone follow you that wants to follow you and find all of this?
Well, like I said, go to Elvira.com, and then down the bottom are all my social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and everything. And it's at The Real Elvira.
Well, I appreciate you coming back again. As I said before we went on air, I do not say that to everyone, but I had a great chat with you once again. And I really don't say that to everyone.
Well, thank you. And I had a great time with you. And believe me, I really don't say that to everyone.
That doesn't shock me. You're like direct and to the point. So if you didn't like this, you would tell me.
I definitely would.
Everyone,
also, I like the fact that you're predicting my life, what's coming up for me.
Listen, I'm like, this book is going to be like on the New York Times bestseller list. Like I could tell you that. And it's just, it was for everyone who hasn't read it, that's listening needs, it was like a page turner. It was.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lots of interesting tidbits revealed.
There's a good Christmas present for you, right? My book.
It was literally, because I'm like you, I like reading an autobiography, and I think you can tell when someone is has a ghostwriter and it's not really their voice. I'm like, you could tell if you read a lot of them right away.
I totally get that. And you know what? I just want to mention the audiobook for my book. Here, I'm doing a plug again. The audiobook was listed in Audible's top 100 audiobooks of the year. So I'm very, very proud about that. There's a lot of stiff competition out there for the audiobooks.
Especially with Audible, So, listen, you could come back here any day you want. So
I'm coming back tomorrow.
You can come back every day. Like,
okay,
don't tempt me.
We're going to do this together every single day. We're going to do a podcast together, you and me.
Listen, you pick the topic, and we can maybe like review horror movies. That's what we should do.
Okay, if I can remember any.
We're going to have to sit there and like, we'll do one episode a week and we have to watch the horror movie. Okay, cause I mean, I don't remember. And I mean, everything, but Aliens, Scream, throw in some old stuff. Like, this is not the world. Listen, I'm telling you this, you here it is again. If Cassandra Peterson, AKA Elvira, did a weekly podcast where she reviewed horror movies, I'll help you out and produce it. It's going to be on the top of the charts. Really?
That would be fun.
Right?
You never know.
True crime and like horror related podcasts do very well. Very well. There's like that appetite.
Maybe you should be my manager too.
Seriously. I'm just, listen, I have a lot of, like, I'm available for any side gig that you want, Cassandra.
Okay.
Hopefully you will get through New Year's. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to get through it somehow. So hopefully you'll stay in, you'll have fun, and anytime, really. I really appreciate this. It was a fun chat.
Thank you. This was so fun. Oh, something just jumped down and tried to kill me.
One of the Elvira's fell.
Yeah. They're trying to kill me.
It's like an omen. They're like, that means like someone is saying like, this is a great idea. This is a great idea. Look at those.
Bye, David. See you later.
We love that Elvira statue. Bye, Elvira and Cassandra Peterson. Love you much.
See you again. Love you too.
Definitely. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.